Well, that year went fast, didn't it? 1 year in Erie, and we celebrate with those two couples the joy it is for them to be in Erie. If you can remember back with us, it was about a year and a half before that that we were thinking, what does God want us to do for the next big thing? And we were looking at the cities around us and watching how it was very difficult to create a church in Louisville, Lafayette, and Erie, just the difficulty in land, and suddenly Erie was exploding. And we just started praying about this vision to put a church in that community. And here we are 1 year later, and 300 people are there today. And we rejoice in what God has done. Many other life changes as well, not only in those two couples, but since we've been out in Erie, we have had 5 new life groups that have started out there, so that there are 10 total in that community. 2 membership classes have occurred out in Erie with 23 new people who came through the class. Most of them have become members. We've developed a great relationship with the high school out there, so that it's really like a reciprocal partnership between our church and that high school. Especially the principal, Steve Payne, has become a close friend of ours. And he's very happy that we're there. In fact, his quote was, "We're grateful for the partnership and glad that you're meeting in our school." As the principal, glad you're here in our school. One of the great things that's happened is our life groups have developed a relationship with the teachers there. And last Sunday morning, 5 of our life groups each took a classroom in which our Sunday morning kids' classes meet. And they wrote a card and gave a gift to each of the teachers whose class we use at Erie High School and gave them out last week. And it's just developing this great partnership. This morning, in the 10:30 hour, you're going to be watching me on videotape, and I'm going to be able to be in Erie live, and we're going to have the teachers whose class we use and the principal and some of the administrators from Erie High School be present in that service out there, and then a big barbecue afterwards. You know, it reminds me of what the Lord has done in Calvary Bible Church over the years. Calvary Bible Church began in this city in 1889. Many of you were there. No. Now, maybe you don't know the history, but it began as the Swedish Christian Tabernacle here in Boulder, and everything was in Swedish. All the services were in Swedish until 1954. And then the church decided that we needed to expand our ministry and not only reach Swedes in Boulder, but English-speaking people as well. And that spirit has continued on, and that's why we're in Erie. And who knows where we'll be 5 years from now, but we need to continue to pray. God, what do you have for our church, and where do you want us to go, and what will be the next step for us as a church? I'm happy to tell you, if you were unable to be with us on Tuesday night, that our congregation met at our annual business meeting, and we approved a new budget. And you should have been there. Because those who were there just said, "Okay, we're voting in a brand new budget for Calvary," and for the first time in our history, we broke a threshold of $2 million. That's the operating budget for us to run this campus and the Erie campus and our missions program for 55 of our missionaries around the world. And we're trusting God, and we want you to be trusting God and praying together. What does God have in store for Calvary Bible Church in the coming year? And what will be the ways that he'll push us out into new places and take us in a direction that we've never been before and reach new people? Because what we're after is building this Christ-centered community of people. Can you say it with me? We're fully devoted to loving God and loving others. And we're doing it here in Boulder, we're doing it in Erie, and in every place in between that God gives us the opportunity to do that. So it's a great celebration, and I appreciate the part that it has been for you in this campus. And we've made much of the 225 people who left this campus to do all the work out there of setting up in a high school. But there was work here too. because most of the people who went out to Erie were in places of leadership or service here at this campus, and they all had to be refilled. Those spots had to be filled up by other people, and so you did that. And all of the slots for Sunday school teachers, youth workers, ushers, greeters were filled here, and we felt the loss of 200 people as they left us, but God has replace them, and it's just been great to see what's happened, not only on that campus, but on this campus too. This week, while I was reflecting, actually over the last 2 weeks on this event, I was reading through the Gospel of John again, and I landed on this beautiful text that I want to speak to you this morning as we think about celebrating 1 year and thinking about the last 3 weeks as we've talked about transformations. God changing our lives individually. God changing our youth ministry, as we saw last week. Wasn't it great to hear from Gary and Thomas last week? And God changing our church collectively. What is God doing in us as we follow Him? And to help us think about that this morning, I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, if you will. John chapter 12 and verse 20. And next week, we'll return to our study through the Gospel of John. This is just a little bit of icing on the cake. This is from chapter 12, but next week, we'll begin again looking at chapter 13. John chapter 12, verse 20, records the winding down of the life of Jesus. And as it's coming to a close with about a week left in his life, we see this snapshot and sort of the last words of Jesus beginning to be unfolded for us. Now, there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. The feast was Passover. And these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them and said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Father, I pray that you'll help us to understand these words of Jesus in the last days of his life, and that these words would have the profound effect of gripping our hearts, transforming our thinking, and I pray that the conduct of our life would be changed because of what is unfolded in these words from the Gospel of John. We invite you, O Holy Spirit, to come to us and speak your words to us. And we pray that the transformation of you at work in us will take place further this morning, as we yield to you by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking about transformation, this life experience of continually being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ in our life. And that message, that hope of a transformed life, is found throughout the Bible. It's what God intends for us, that we would be increasingly transformed. And it begins by knowing him and following him. There's a phrase in this section that we just read, and it says in verse 21 that this group came to Jesus, actually came to the disciples and said, "We would like to see Jesus." When I first came to Calvary Bible Church, we had a big wooden pulpit. I don't know if you remember that, but this grand wooden pulpit had a plaque on it. It was nice because you could stand behind it and could hold on to it. And in the early days, that was comforting. But there was a little plaque on it. You know what it said? Sir, we would see Jesus. Whenever I got up to preach, the plaque would always be there. It said, we want to see Jesus. Like, not you. We're not really interested in what you have to say. You know, show us Jesus. That's what we would like to see. And it was a good reminder. And that's what Calvary Bible Church must always be up to. Showing the world Jesus. And here comes this group of people, they're Greeks, and they come to the disciples and say, we want to see Jesus. So they go back to Jesus, and Jesus says, okay, well, now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. And we don't hear too much about what happens with this group of Greeks, but I want to show you a couple things that Jesus' interaction with the disciples and this group of Greeks gives us a little snapshot into the kind of community that Jesus was building there and the one he's building today. And it's a community that first of all, I'm going to give you a couple marks of this Christ-centered community. It is diverse. It's a diverse community. Jesus' followers, these closest disciples at this point, were all Jews, right? But here come this group of Greeks, and they say, we want to see Jesus too. And it reminds me of the text we read from chapter 10, in which Jesus said in verse 16, I have other sheep who are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. And they will hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. And at this very moment, here are these Jewish disciples around Jesus, and they're saying, here are these Greeks, they want to come see you. And Jesus says, okay, they can, because I have other sheep. And that's really what's behind our mission to go to Erie. Right? Because there are others who need to know. We wanted to put a church there. That's why we're going to Kenya. That's why we go to Brazil. That's why we go around the world, because the body of Christ is diverse. Greeks, Jews, Gentiles. In our own congregation here at Calvary Bible Church, I was thinking this week about how diverse we are. We are a diverse group, and we celebrate that. We're elementary teachers and university professors right here in this room. We're electrical engineers, molecular biologists, meteorologists, real estate brokers, computer scientists, software developers, stockbrokers, bankers, small business owners, corporate CEOs, and college students, all in this room. We're plumbers, electricians, developers, dentists, physicians, physicists, physical therapists. We're managers of people, managers of money, carpenters, carpet layers, engineers. Lots of engineers here of all varieties. Musicians, artists, salespeople. We live in the mountains. We live in the foothills. We live in the suburbs. We live in the city. We live in apartments, condos, townhouses, duplexes, tract homes, custom homes. We live in mansions. We live in shelters. We have retired people. I'm not finished. We have retired people. We have people who like to live within the city of Boulder. We have people who like to live outside the city of Boulder. We're single. We're married. We're married without children. We're married with children. We're widowed. We're divorced. We're remarried. We're retired. We walk to church. We ride bikes to church. We drive an old beater. We drive only the best. We drive hybrids that conserve. We drive SUVs that don't. We ride motorcycles, mountain bikes, skateboards, classic cars, foreign cars, sports cars. We're retired. We're independents. We're Democrats. We're Republicans. We send our kids to private school, to Christian school, to public school, charter schools. We homeschool. We prefer the organ. We love the drums. We like the hymns that were written in 1890. We only want something that was written after 1980. We listen to our iPod, we shuck pea pods. We wear jeans to church, we prefer a suit and tie. We are Calvary. We grew up in the church, we got recovered and have become to come back to church. We are a diverse group of people. And that's a good thing. See, the marks of a great church, where Christ is at the center, demonstrates over and over and over again that Christ is for all mankind, not just those of us who fit the mold. We have a diverse church. We see it this morning. We see it as we come to church every day. It's diverse, and that's a good thing. We celebrate that Christ is here to reach those who are employed and those who are unemployed in all kinds of places in between. No social, no economic, no skin color differences. Christ came for all. We would see Jesus, the Greeks said. And Boulder and Erie are saying to us today, we would see Jesus. Can we see Jesus in this church? We want to say, yeah, you can see Jesus here. You can see Jesus here. And our mission as a church is to be a Christ-centered community of people who are so devoted to loving God that we can't help but love others, and that they can easily see that Christ has made this huge difference in our life. And we're happy to say our life has been transformed by Jesus Christ. Come see Jesus with me. You could find Jesus in this church. You could find Jesus in my life group. You could find Jesus in our women's Bible study, in men's fraternity, in our youth group, in our children's program at VBS. Come. And as the Greeks, I think if we were listening, we could hear a lot of people say today, I want to see Jesus. I mean, we've heard from people, and this is the rub, that in the United States of America, there are a lot of people who are into Jesus, but not a lot of people who are into church. They would like to know something about Jesus, but not about church. And our mission is to be this kind of church that is so centered upon Christ that there would be a beautiful draw that people would say, I want to see what you've got. Now, what does it take to do that? This is the hard work of the church, and it's in the rest of these verses. So let's go there to verse 23. Jesus answered him, we want to see Jesus. Jesus answered, okay, well, now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. This is the hour. And in these words, he was looking forward to what event? Yes, to this event right here that's ever before you. We're always reminded that this is why Christ came. Now is the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified. And that hour is that he would be crucified for us. And that's what he was looking for. This is the hour of my glorification. It would happen within 7 days. And then he tells this, almost a riddle, in the next verse, verse 24. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, if a grain of wheat dies, falls into the earth, is buried, it will bear much fruit. 23 and 24 and 26 are all tied together. The hour of the glorification of the Son of Man from verse 23 is his death and burial and resurrection, through which he will bring much fruit to himself, through which we have found fruit of everlasting life. But it required that this grain of wheat, the Son of Man, would break off, fall into the ground, be buried, die, and then come to life. It's an analogy of a farming. In order for there to be a plant, there must be a seed that's buried into the ground and smothered over, and it must die, and then out of the nutrients of the ground and the sun and the water, life comes. And he was speaking of himself in verse 24, but he's speaking of you and me in verse 25. Okay, this is where it comes, that if we'll be this kind of community where people say, I want to see what you have, I want to see Jesus, we must live out verse 25. So let's read that. He who loves his life what happens? He loses it. He who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. And now Jesus is speaking to us, to his followers, that this similar kind of death must occur for us, in which we die to Christ in order to live to him. We die to self and to sin in order to live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified. I've been killed, but I'm alive. Okay, that's what he says. If you want to live again, you must lose your life. And as long as we want to hold on to our life, we disqualify ourselves from eternal life. It requires a surrender, a yielding, a turning over, a repentance, a yielding to him. He who would keep his life will lose it, but he who loses his life will keep it for eternal life, Jesus said. And so he uses the word hate. And this is what sets the church apart in all of its glory. It's comprised of people who would say, I'm willing to die for Christ. I'm willing to suffer the loss of all things so that Christ may be exalted in my life. Oh, all things? This is where the road can divide a bit. But what makes the church unique and without spot and wrinkle in all her glory is when the church is able to say, I'm willing to lose all things in order to gain Christ. Now, how does that happen? I know that nothing I have in my hand will bring me into relationship with him. Nothing I possess will help me gain a better relationship with Christ. I come empty-handed to him and I'm saved by grace through faith, right? I'm saved by grace through faith. I have nothing to bring. I'm saved by him. And I lose my life when I say I'm going to give my life for service for Christ. I'm going to give myself to him. And in fact, that's the next place he goes, which I think is the most identifying sign of the true church of Christ. It's a church of service. So watch what he says in verse 26. If anyone, what's the word? Serves. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. All right, so what is tied to losing your life? Hating your life and gaining eternal life. I think the way it's demonstrated that I'm willing to lose my life and gain Christ is tied to this word, service. Verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. So there's something tied to gaining life and moving on with Christ. There's something tied to that, to serving. And I would say that's another sign of a Christ-centered community. It's a serving community. It's a community that says, I serve Christ. I give myself for Christ and his glory. And I'm so thankful that this has become part of the DNA of Calvary Bible Church over the years, that we know that what members do at this church is worship, learn, and serve. It's what it means to be a member of Calvary. We give our life to God in worship. We study and know the Word of God in order to follow Christ. And we serve. Because serving is a true indication of a Christ-transformed life. Right? Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And we follow in his steps. And so he says, you know, in this whole issue of gaining life, losing life. If you hate your life in this world, you will keep it for eternal life. If you are willing to suffer the loss of all things, if you had to say, Christ, I will leave all this world behind. I have decided to follow you. Then you're worthy to be his disciple. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Wow, that's the call. It's huge. And it is demonstrated in a life of service. He who serves me must follow me. Now, I love it says that because service has become such an integral part of who we are as a church, and we're getting ready for ShareFest. You're going to hear about that this morning. And I've mentioned to you, I've bragged about your participation in ShareFest. I've told other churches, you know, we have 90% participation in our church to be involved in this huge project. Can you believe that? I said, how do you get 90%? I said, I have the best church in the world. We have a church that says, I know this is a part of who we are to serve. And this is the entree that we have used to open doors of communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the city of Boulder. That's what we do. It's what we do to make things happen, to reach the world we serve. And we serve in such a way that we are following Jesus. If anyone serves, he must follow me. It's a beautiful statement. And there are two rewards that come to us. You see what they are in verse 26? Two rewards that come if we do that. Number one, where I am, there my servant will be too. Okay, what does that seems to indicate that heaven is the reward of true followers of Jesus. And true followers of Jesus do not let anything in this world get in their way. And I would suffer the loss of all things that I could gain Christ. And if there's anything in my life that keeps me from Christ, I want that out of my life. I would lose my life so I could gain Christ. And if anything in my life kept me from Christ, I want that out. And my life is for Him. I follow Him. I serve Him in every way I can. And my reward is in heaven. Not only am I there where he is, but the last part of verse 26 says, and the Father will honor him. There is reward. Great is your reward in heaven. Not only are you going to heaven, but you'll be honored of the Father. You will be rewarded. Great is your reward in heaven. And that is the prize as we follow Christ. Now, what a great experience to be a part of a community that's mission is make Christ known. We are a Christ-centered community. So what we are about is making Jesus known. And we ask ourselves the question, if Jesus were to come into church today and see us of all different varieties, of all different sizes and shapes and personalities and backgrounds, and as diverse as we are, he would walk in and what would he say to us? Lose your life and follow me. Give up your life and follow me. Serve with me. Follow and serve. And all who were willing to do that could. And we could say, boy, this is the moment that Christ is glorified. He's being magnified in this place. And I want to just call you in whatever walk of life you are today. Not yet working because you're a student, working or retired. Your life is for God. Your life is for God. And as you follow Him, as we follow Him as a church, who knows what this year will hold for us as a church? What will be the transformations that will take place in us? We're quick to let go of things that get in our way. We don't want anything to stand between what's ahead for us and walking by faith. If I could say one more thing about this Erie celebration for 1 year, it would be this. Stepping out to launch a new campus in Erie was a step of faith for us. We didn't know how it was going to happen. And I want to remind you that as a church and as families and as individuals, we need experiences in our life that demand that we trust God in this. We don't want to have life all figured out that we just walk along our way and say, well, I think I'm doing what God wants. Or we say, God, we're going to do this. Please bless us. God, I'm going to do this now. Bless me. I'm going to do this now. Bless me. I'm trusting God. Well, maybe you are. But what if you said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to walk with you. I want to walk by faith. I'm not sure what it's going to hold, but I know you want me to do this. I know you want me to go talk to my coworker. I know you want me to invite my neighbor to church. I know you want me to stop doing this or start doing that. And you step out and do it by faith. That's where we want to live, by faith. Because that's the place of Christ glorification. And we're a Christ-centered community. Always being transformed. Always on the change. You like change? How many of you like change? How many of you don't like change? Yeah. Okay, we're diverse. That's the diversity of the community. And I'll admit, some of us don't like to change. And I hope that Calvary Bible Church will be the place that you'll know certain things will never change. And other things, you just know they're probably going to change. But hopefully we'll hold to the right things that are not changing. And the other things are, change happens. It's going to happen. What doesn't happen? What doesn't change? We are a Christ-centered community. 1889, 1954, 2006, 2007. Our life is for Christ, right? Let's pray together. We would see Jesus. Lord, we believe that the world has many people, not all, but many people in it, who would really like to see who Jesus is. And I pray that you will come upon your church, each of us individually, and all of us together as your church, and we would sense the impression of God on our souls, that with a great earnestness we would say, we want the world to see Jesus Christ in us. We want the world to see that Christ is alive in our lives. We are different, unique, but we are yours. And our uniqueness and our diversity is held together in a sweet spirit of unity because we are indwelt by Christ, our Savior. And our life is for Him. And we ask, oh God, that You'll come to us and You'll make us increasingly aware of how we can show forth Christ to the world. And in fact, that the world would see Jesus glorified as we serve, as we give ourselves, as we remove any obstacle that keeps us from yielding our life to Christ. Lord, our life is for You. May it be joy for us as we build this community of Christ-centered followers. And may it be filled with grace and patience. May it be filled with loving kindness and mercy. May it be filled with a tender-hearted compassion for one another and words of affirmation and love and grace and acceptance. And may it be filled with a resolute commitment to be unwavering in our stance that the Word of God is Your message to us, Your truth. God, what cannot change, may we hold to tightly. What must change, God, give us grace that we will be Your church in the world today. We ask for this because we love You, we belong to You, we are at rest and at peace with You. We follow You, Lord Jesus. Our lives are for You. So to You be glory in Jesus' name. Amen.